Sound set.
On cornerofthegalaxy.com. Welcome to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. I'm Josh Gessman along with Wendy Thomas, and on today's show we're going to recap the 2-0 victory over Vancouver on Monday night. The offense came alive, the defense stood tall, so is this team finally headed in the right direction? And a red card, Nigel? As we always do, we'll update you on your LA Galaxy news, including the US Open Cup, Academy teams, and the much-anticipated season ticket holder event. And finally, we're getting you ready for Seattle as your Galaxy will travel up to the Pacific Northwest to play the Sounders for the first of three times in July. It's a great show, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Now here are your hosts, Josh Gessman and Wendy Thomas. Hello everybody and welcome to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Josh Gessman, Miss Wendy Thomas with you once again. Happy to be back on another week. Not a midweek game this time, which means it feels like it's possibly been forever since I actually went to a game, even though it was only Monday. It was only July 4th. It wasn't that long ago. But the LA Galaxy get a 2-0 win over the Vancouver. That's what we're going to start with. But before we start, we need to talk to Wendy. Wendy, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Josh. How are you?
I'm doing very good. I think lots of Galaxy fans are doing good over this particular week here, Wendy, because the Galaxy scored 2 goals, something new they're trying, and they didn't allow a goal. Again, something new they're trying.
I predicted it would be 2-1, but actually we got a shutout, so I was even happier to see that.
Yeah, it was. It was a solid performance, although I think that...
Without flaws, though.
Yeah, obviously. Again, I don't think I've seen 90 minutes from the Galaxy yet. It's one of those things, and that's fine. In this particular case, I don't even think you can pick out a half in which they played particularly well, because I thought they got outplayed in the first half. And then in the second half, they wrestled control of the game with the early goal by Jeff Laurentiewicz in the second half. So that's good, but... ultimately, if you look at the stats and what Vancouver was able to put up on the board in terms of shots, it's kind of surprising that the Galaxy won this game 2-0.
Yeah, you know, they say there's those games where the result accurately reflects what happened on the field, and then there's games where it doesn't. And maybe I think it was fair for the Galaxy to win, but it certainly wasn't one of those games where I had a feeling in my gut like we were going to win. I was tentative the entire game, expecting Vancouver to get a goal, but we managed to squeeze them out of the game, but it was not by any means a decisive victory.
No, it wasn't. And again, like you said, there were flaws in there. Lots of things sort of came about. I think the best thing that you can talk about just in the starting lineup is the fact that you had everybody was back. Well, everybody except for two defenders. And
yeah, no, I mean, I think it's great that we got a clean sheet in a game where we were without Gilles Van Damme and Ashley Cole. And they're probably, our two most intelligent defenders. So that bodes well for the back line of the LA Galaxy that we are able to rely on, essentially people who are backups. And yet we're still able to defend cohesively and to essentially keep Vancouver out. And Vancouver is a very good offensive team. So that bodes well for the Galaxy.
Yeah, it does. And you, like you said, Yellow Van Damme, Ashley Cole, both on suspensions. Ashley Cole for a red card and Yellow Van Damme for yellow card accumulation. Leonardo was in Yellow Van Damme spot, and Dave Romney took over for Ashley Cole. I thought Dave Romney did well. I think Dave Romney's biggest problem was that he was paired next to Leonardo, and Leonardo made me nervous the entire game. He made Brian Rowe nervous too, I could tell, because
I thought that Brian Rowe during the first half was off. I thought there was, I mean, there was a bad error in the very beginning. And I feel like during the first half, there was something about him that was nervous.
I think that Leonardo being anywhere near him made him nervous. Because let's see, I can count, I think, two or three back passes that Leonardo made that put Brian Rowe under serious pressure. You have to remember, Brian Rowe almost had that first clearance blocked, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean that was happening. Again, Leonardo gave him that ball. So again, that's one of those things.
Brian Rowe waited too long.
He did wait too
long to kick that.
He did wait too long, but Leonardo consistently put Brian Rowe in bad positions throughout the night, and I think the LA Galaxy are lucky that Leonardo didn't cost them the goal, because everybody in the press box was betting that goal was coming and it was going to be at the fault of Leonardo. You can talk about that side, Leonardo and Romney on the left side. If you move over to the right-hand side with AJ De La Garza and Daniel Starez, by the way, Daniel Starez back in into this game playing after he had been injured before. So Daniel Starez back into this game with AJ De La Garza. I thought that side of the formation really well, really strong, had zero issues with them whatsoever.
Yeah, no, I always love. I was in the early part of the season when AJ wasn't getting a lot of time, you know, it was sort of sad because he's one of my favorite Galaxy players. So I'm very happy now, even though, I mean, it's because Robbie Rogers is out, obviously.
Right.
But I'm very happy that AJ is getting, you know, he's a starter because that's where he should be.
Well, I thought the Galaxy, again, struggled in the first half. I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that when Ashley Cole's in that left back role, he provides the width and the ability to go forward from there. And Dave Romney's not that guy. He's not going to give you your width. He's going to be a defender and he's going to stay back. And that's really what Dave did. So the Galaxy attack was pretty one-sided from what you could see. But you had Steven Gerrard, who had, I think, one of his best games in LA Galaxy uniform, two assists, looked dangerous, had some other chances that maybe just missed out. Between him and Giassi Zardes, and again, Zardes comes back from international duty.
Yeah.
Robbie Keane comes back from international duty. Putting all these pieces back together, and what do you know? The Galaxy score two goals.
Yeah, no, I mean, I did take note of the fact that Steven Gerrard assisted on both goals in this game. And actually, in the preview article that I prepared, I don't know if it was for this game or the previous game, I, you know, made note of the fact that I thought the LA Galaxy's 2016 fortunes would hinge on Steven Gerrard's performance with the team, because we do not have at this time anyone other than him who has the field vision and can play as a central attacking midfielder to deliver service to our strikers, because for whatever reason, I don't think Giovanni Dos Santos is that player.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that if you're looking for the position the LA Galaxy are weakest at right now, it is the central attacking midfield role, but they're very strong whenever Steven Gerrard has been performing
right.
Very well, is plays, but if he's out or he's injured or he needs to come out in the 70th minute, if you're not winning the game, you have problems. Steven Gerrard has to play 90 minutes if that's the case, because there is nobody else on this team, and I'm talking about no matter who you try to throw in there, okay, stop trying to make, Jose Villarreal happen in that position. Okay, that's not going to happen. But no matter who you throw in there is not going to be a good fit for the LA Galaxy. Baggio Husic is probably the best answer. And if Baggio Husic is your best answer, you have problems.
That's a bad answer. No, I mean, I honestly thought that Giovanni Dos Santos was the person who could, in theory, switch into and play as a central attacking midfielder. I don't know why he couldn't, but I guess that's not really his best position. I guess his best position is really in the Robbie Keane position, which is because I still remember that Houston game when we were at BBVA and Gerrard and Dos Santos played great together earlier this season.
Right.
And maybe Giovanni Dos Santos is a withdrawn striker, and that's what he does.
Well, it's not the future. You can't say maybe that's the future, except that we're fairly certain that Steven Gerrard's LA Galaxy career is over after this season. I mean, that's been
but the someone assumption. Needs to provide service.
Somebody needs to be there. So the LA Galaxy are going to have to find somebody there, and until they do, then that's going to be sort of the weakest position. But this whole team, I asked a question in my last show. So if you listen to Corner of the Galaxy from the Box, you sort of know the answer to this. But I asked the question, who was sort of the linchpin of this LA Galaxy machine. Who is the person that if they're not there, it falls apart? And a lot of people had said Giassi Zardes, which I thought, honestly, I know Steven Gerrard had two assists in this game, right? I thought Giassi Zardes, his work rate and what he was able to do was my man of the match.
I loved it.
He was outstanding, excellent. Just the engine on him. Again, if you listen to the earlier podcast, you'll hear me say it again. He became a man
in the Copa America. He has come back and he is full of confidence, understanding, intelligence. I thought he had hit his high watermark, Wendy, and I was ready to write off Jossie's artist because I just there's times when he makes me not believe in him just by the way that he plays. And that's not the case right now. I'm probably the biggest Jossie's artist fan that I have ever been in my entire life. I am like, wow, this kid really could play in Europe.
He really is good. I know. I totally agree with you. What I noticed in the game was his what he was doing defensively.
Right.
Because we know that he can get forward. But when in 2013, do you remember when he really was very early on, he had no idea how to defend, what defending was.
Right.
And I noticed during the Vancouver game, he was everywhere defensively. He was just, I mean, he really was defending like a real defender. And I was just surprised for, I mean, because I know that playing for the national team that Jurgen Klinsmann has tried to develop his defensive wherewithal.
Right.
But I really saw it in this game. I was like, he is really defending like properly. I was really excited about that. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think that he has improved a lot in the past year.
Well, we got goals from Jeff Lerentowitz and Robbie Keane. The Robbie Keane goal, obviously, really opened up the scoring for the LA Galaxy in the 12th
classic
minute.
Classic Robbie Keane goal.
Well, and a great pass by Steven Gerrard, too.
Yeah,
I mean, just
great pass by Steven Gerrard, classic Robbie Keane goal. Just giving him like a yard of space and then chipping the keeper like that. That is so Robbie Keane.
You should want to take a red card if you are a defender and you have Robbie Keane who gets the ball on like the left side of the box and starts to move right. You should just tackle him with your hands and arms and feet, wrap your arms around him and drag him down to the ground because you could see that coming. Everybody was like, oh, Robbie Keane on his right foot. Oh, did you not watch the video of him with the Techers crew, right? The guys, I think the F2 Techers crew. Did you see any of that?
No,
you didn't. So it's all like, you know, it's all about the tech skills and how he, and Robbie Keane is placing him upper right hand corner with his eyes closed every single time. And this ball comes over and he drifts over to the right hand side and then he just hooks it around David Elstead. And it's like, come on. Everybody knew that was coming. And even this was my favorite part, Carl Robinson. One of the things that has sort of changed a little bit for MLS in post game is that we used to not get the visiting coach in the press conference. Right. And so that was fine. Quite honestly, I kind of liked it better because you don't waste as much time waiting because a lot of times I don't need to talk to the visiting coach. But Carl Robinson was in. It was the first time I've gotten to talk to him or gotten to see him speak. And he said just about the funniest thing about Robbie Keane I've ever seen. And somebody asked him, you know, if they could have done better on the goal. And he said, yes, you know, we could have done better. And then here's his direct quote. But Robbie's been putting them in the top post for 20 odd years. Sick of seeing it, to be fair. He did have a smile at me and I didn't want to give him a smile back, but he's a top player. And that changed the first half because I thought we were excellent in the first half. But the reason Robbie gets paid a lot of money is because he's able to do that. Right. There it is, Carl
Robinson. That is the reason he's paid a lot of money to do just that.
It is absolutely true. And, you know, I know that Carl and Robbie know each other. So it was one of those things, you know, he had a little smile at me and he didn't want to smile back. You know, Carl Robinson's all mad. His team just gave up a goal. And here comes Robbie Keane with that big, cheesy Irish smile looking at Carl Robinson. Give him a little smile. And Carl's like, nope, not having it. Not going to happen this time, Keno. So it was fun. Listen, that was a great goal. It was what they needed against the run of play. Again, Vancouver had so many, I thought, good buildups that resulted in nothing. And I think you credit the LA Galaxy defense because they were scrambling for a lot of this. But in total, Vancouver had 27 shots to the LA Galaxy's 9.
It's the exact same thing that happened in the Portland game last week, which was that there was, remember, Portland took like 10 or 15 shots and we took like 2,
right.
But they had 0 shots that are almost no shots on target. So they had, Vancouver took 27 shots but had 4 on target.
Right.
So what exactly is causing teams to pull the trigger so quickly when they're playing the LA Galaxy where they just, you know, they get within the final third and shoot?
Yeah, it's premature trigger pullage. It's got to be that we're so attractive.
I think that's the official terminology too.
Premature trigger pullage.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
I agree. So no, I think you're onto something there. I think that the LA Galaxy defense, the much maligned LA Galaxy defense, as we'd like to say it, fourth shutout of the year, second shutout in a row. If you count U.S. Open Cup, didn't count U.S. Open Cup in that 4 shutouts, so you could say 5 in U.S. Open Cup.
But I think that's interesting. It could be that the way teams are preparing to play the LA Galaxy this season, because the defense has been so much more solid than it was in 2015.
Right.
It could be that teams are just saying, look, just anytime you get even close, just take a shot, because, you know, they're putting their stocks and just getting sheer volume of shots off in the hopes that one is going to manifest a goal. I think that's just something that was interesting, that now I've noticed sort of a pattern that it seems like teams are just sort of taking shots even if they're nowhere close to the goal.
Yeah, because that's what it ends up happening here. If you look at total shots, it's 27-9 in favor of Vancouver. If you go to shots on target, it is 5 for the LA Galaxy and 4 for Vancouver. Thank you very much. So, yeah.
Of course, it could be a sign that maybe the LA Galaxy are doing a better job circulating the ball around. I mean, we always are talking about how Bruce prefers veterans and intelligence over youth and athleticism. So perhaps it's just a reflection of the fact we have an older team with a higher IQ, and they are biding their time circulating the ball to put themselves in the best position. And so as a result, we take fewer shots, but get a higher percentage of them on target.
Oh, absolutely. It could be. And I think that in this game, you saw hints of the passing that the LA Galaxy are known for. Tiki-taka a little bit, if you want to go there. Just a lot of good one-touch, intelligent passes that were really troubling the Vancouver defense. I still think the finishing for the LA Galaxy needs to get better. Giassi's artist had, I don't know, 3 or 4 ridiculously perfect crosses that nobody was on the end of. So maybe it's a matter of just getting people forward. And again, with a makeshift back line, I feel like the Galaxy were a little hesitant in getting forward, and quite honestly, they didn't need to. They were up 1-0 after 12 minutes, and then you go into the second half, and in the 47th minute, just 2 minutes after halftime, Jeff Lorentowicz stuffs a shot into the back of the goal. Now, granted, Jeff Lorentowicz cheated his butt off in order to get that ball into the back of the goal, and he even admitted that he pushed in order to clear space and get the ball in there. It was actually a kind of funny moment between Jeff and the reporters afterwards. Were standing in the locker room, and Jeff goes, yeah, you know, we asked him if he could tell us about, you know, how his goal looked, or to him, how it looked. And he said, yeah, he goes, you know, maybe I got away with a push. And all the reporters nod their head. And he goes, oh, you guys thought I got away with a push? And he's like, we're like, yes, you got away with a push. He's like, okay, yeah, then I got away with a push. And, you know, I put the ball in the back of the net. So that was how it was. And he did.
You do what you got to do, you know?
He did. It should have been called. Clearly should have been called. It shouldn't have been allowed a goal. That being said, it killed the game off completely. And if you don't understand that one referee's call or non-call can change, you know, sort of the outcome of the game, I think that that goal killed Vancouver. I think Carl.
It feels like that happens during every game, frankly, that the referee's decision making plays some role in the outcome.
Oh, way too much.
Yeah.
Of course, you could also not push, or you could also not get red cards, and Nigel de Jong. I mean, you could not do that.
But what are the odds that players are going to give up tactical advantages if they think there's a chance, you know? I mean,
oh, yeah.
You know, I think professional athletes are pathologically competitive, and so any opportunity that they think they can have, they'll try and take advantage of.
I'm not even a professional athlete, and I would cheat at foosball if I thought I wouldn't get caught. All right, maybe that goes to my character. Maybe I'm a horrible person, but don't play me in foosball, because I will cheat, and if you're not paying attention, I will win. But
only if I'm not paying attention.
Yeah, exactly. If you're paying attention, then I probably won't, because I know I'll get caught, Wendy. So there, that's how that works. Nigel de Jong gets a red card in the 74th minute.
Yes, that's how many. Now I want to tally. I want someone to tally up how many cards has Joel Van Damme had, and how many cards has Nigel de Jong have, and what is our total going to be at the end of the season for cards for these fellas?
Well, do you want like total red cards?
Van Damme's way ahead.
Oh yeah, well, Yellow Van Damme has, I think, the most yellow cards on the team, because he's had.
Does he win something at the end of the season with that?
No. No, his wallet will probably be a little lighter if he keeps it up. I think he's had 6, because you go up to 4, and then he played really good for 5 games, then he got 1 reduced down to 3, and then he got 5, and then he got 6, and then that is actually technically his 5th one, because, don't ask, because MLS rules, and so then he got suspended, so now he's that. Daniel Starez, by the way, is on 4 yellow card warning right now as well, so expect Daniel Starez, and I don't know his game count yet, but I'm sure we can figure that out, because if you go 5 games without getting a yellow card once you're on 4, then you get one of those rescinded. Yellow Van Damme actually made it through that, made me look like an ass. Thanks, Yella. Really appreciate that.
I'm actually okay with it. I do not mind Yell Van Damme's yellow cards, because I've seen several of them that I've seen have come from intelligent decisions. And there is such a thing as, you know, towing that line between clear foul behavior and maybe not. You know, he crosses that line sometimes, but he does it in an intelligent way for most of the cards I've seen him draw. Because I've seen him draw cards in a way, you know, to prevent someone from scoring and stuff like that. So, you know, if you're a defender, you kind of have to... You got to be really careful, but there's sometimes incurring tactical yellow cards is something that is an intelligent decision, even if it puts your team at risk of losing you.
Yeah, it is, and I agree with that 100%. Not going to disagree. The other thing that I would say, though, is that really this yellow card, and I hate yellow card accumulation. I think it's a stupid rule. I think yellow cards are an in-game punishment, all right? I don't even like... I'm also the guy who doesn't like red cards, like, whenever you have to miss the next game because you got a red card in this game. Because to me, cards, again, are in-game.
Why do we have
in-game.
That rule?
It's to teach them a lesson, Wendy. You're not supposed to... And I get it, because if you do get a red card, I mean, it's a serious foul. But what if you get a red card? What if you should just have to sit out 90 minutes? So whenever you get a red card, from then on out, we start the clock, and then whenever your 90 minutes are up, you get to come back on the field. So that means you won't miss the entire next game. You know, he would just miss everything but the last 25 minutes. And then if your coach wanted to put you on the bench and possibly use you, then you could do it. But I don't like yellow card accumulation because it only goes against defenders. That's the only, you're only going to see that. And granted, you can say, hey, we want more offense in the game. That's fine. But I mean, you're talking about guys over the course of a season who get a yellow card here or a yellow card there. And in defenses, whenever you're left hung out to dry, a lot of times those are going to be tactical yellow cards. I mean, you're going to have to take somebody down, and you can do it without trying to break their legs or anything like that. You can just get in the way and make sure you take them down. But I just don't like, and especially don't like, yellow card accumulation in tournaments. I think that, like, in the Euros or in Copa America, whenever you get two yellow cards in, like, the group stage, you know, or you have to carry your two yellow cards through the group stage and then the knockout rounds, and if you get two at any time during that, that's ridiculous. Over, like, five or six games, you can't get two yellow cards. Anybody can get two yellow cards. And it weakens the players on the field.
Yeah, and then you wind up playing Argentina without Jermaine Jones and Alejandro Bedoya and Bobby Wood.
Yeah, in a game that got really chippy, not because I think the U.S. made it chippy.
Yes, it weakens your team, obviously, when you lose, like, three players. Yes, and we, you know, we were fortunate, I thought, that we managed to keep Vancouver out of it because they're a good attacking team, and we were without Cole and Van Damme. So
yeah, so you get all that. So now we get the Nigel
DeYoung. And Rodgers is injured. And so we were actually without three of our four starting defenders.
And still did okay. There is depth. Whenever we talk about depth, and I've said that maybe this team lies to me sometimes whenever it comes to depth because we try to go and get those young kids to come and play. I think I'm missing the point whenever I look at the depth, because you look at all the young kids, you look at Daniel Starris and Dave Romney, and what they were able to do in the back line this year, that is depth there. And that's something that needs to be championed right now, that Dave Romney and Daniel Starris, both guys who were playing on LA Galaxy 2 last year, are, you know, technically speaking, they could both easily be starters on this MLS LA Galaxy team. And that's, having said that, with Nigel DeYoung, with Ashley Cole and Yella Van Damme in there as well, I mean, both of those guys are performing at a high level, and that youth is there, and it's in our defense right now. And if we can find some youth and put it into the midfield, then I think we're onto something. So I want to talk about Nigel DeYoung's red card, because...
Yeah, well, it was, I would say, a deserved red card.
I have zero issues with it. I do find it humorous that once again the LA Galaxy had a referee pull out a yellow card and then wave it off and then give a red card again.
Oh, I know. I'm so sick of this referees and their just honestly.
Okay, so
when other teams talk them into, like, giving a, you know, turning a yellow card into a red card because, you know, Nigel DeYoung is a villain or whatever it was. And in this instance, it was probably the appropriate call. But it was clear that the referee thought it was a yellow card. And then he's talked into giving him a red card by the opposition.
So
I think that's stupid. I think you should go with whatever your instinct is as a referee. That being said, I don't have a problem with the card. But obviously, this is yet more of this whole issue of, you know, the LA Galaxy having a cast of villains and therefore needing to be punished in some punitive moral sense for being, you know, the bad guys.
The bad guy. I think we're punished all the time because we're bad guys. That's fine. In this particular case, the referee said after the game, and he gave a statement to the PR people, the LA Galaxy PR, and we got that statement read. And I don't have it word for word, but I can give it to you real quick, is that initially, from the angle that the center referee had, he thought it was a yellow card. However, upon giving the yellow card, card, and conferring with his refereeing team, they decided that it was actually a red card, so he immediately waved it off and gave a red card. That is what he says. If you look at the timeline of the facts and how it came down, I find that incredibly difficult, unless as soon as the tackle happened, the referees were yelling into their headsets, red card, red card, red card, red card, red card, because he immediately throws up a yellow card and then immediately takes it down and pulls out a red card. So it didn't look like there was much, you know, conversation going on between them there. They must have all just yelled red card, and then that was it. It got changed immediately.
This is I don't know how many times this has happened this season where a referee decides, well, this is the LA Galaxy, so I guess it should be a red card.
It was a red card. If he would have shown
it was
a straight
red card, but the referee clearly thought it was a yellow card, and then he was persuaded to give it a red card.
That was absolutely 100% true. So that happened. Nigel De Jong, is he going to miss more games, Wendy?
Yes.
No, I mean,
I do like him. I really like him as a player. I know a lot of people don't like him, but I really do. I think he's really intelligent and very good at, he's a really good passer. The way he delivers the ball to someone 30 yards away and he just delivers it to their toe. And I'm just like, God, how do you do that? But I really think he's an intelligent and good player, but this is not the last red card he's going to see this season.
Do you think he gets suspended for more games?
I think he'll be suspended for more games too.
No, you mean on this red card? You think he's going to get? He won't be available to play on Seattle. Do you think it's more than a red card? Are they going to give him additional games on top of the red card?
No, I don't think. I think he's just going to be out for Seattle. But I just think he either needs to adjust somehow his game to the league or. Bruce said that in the comments afterward. He said, you know, he's got to modify his game or something, because as it is, he every game when he plays, he does make a bunch of good tackles. Like he made a bunch of really good tackles where I was like, oh, that was smart. That was going to turn into something. Vancouver was going to turn. So, he is doing that. But then there's that one tackle that goes too far and it's, well, off you go, I guess.
I'll tell you why this one could turn into some more games, why they could suspend him for more games. This is a retaliatory foul. Blas Perez, who came into the game and who is generally one of my most disliked, I would almost say hated players in Major League Soccer, do not like Blas Perez because he's an antagonizer. He's like he's cut from the same cloth as like Steven Lenhart. Honestly, it's that bad at that level. Blas Perez elbowed Nigel De Jong in the face about 10 seconds before this happened, right in front of the referee. Referee did nothing. Blas Perez does this a lot, by the way. He gets his hands up. He gets his elbows in people's faces.
Oh, he's a dirty player.
He is. He is.
For sure.
And so is Nigel. So, you know, you had two dirty players going up against each other, and then Nigel decided to take his legs out, which was fine. It's still a red card. I'm saying I don't expect it to be more than a game, than just the Seattle game, but I wouldn't be surprised if the disciplinary committee decides to tack it on because it's retaliatory. And because of that, we've seen longer suspensions, because that's one of those things. It's like, oh, you're angry you didn't get a call, or you're angry that you just got fouled and it didn't get called. They look at that as being like a more harsh penalty, when as a matter of fact, you know, there were some other fouls in this.
They gave him an additional 3-game suspension for tackling the Prince of Portland. Earlier this year. How many times can they do that?
They can do it again. They can do it again. Now, the reason it probably won't happen is because it's Blas Perez and nobody likes him. So, except for his teammates, I'm sure somebody likes
him. If it's on Darlington Nagbe, it's a 3-game suspension. If it's on Blas Perez, it's one.
It's one. And that doesn't surprise anybody, by the way. I'm trying to see if there's anything else that we touched on in this game that is super important. The LA Galaxy won this game 2-0, obviously. I still think they got outplayed. We talked about that. Jeff Laurentiwicz killed the game off of that second.
I thought it was close.
50% possession. There was almost equal, which is actually kind of surprising. I thought the Galaxy had ceded the ball over to Vancouver way more than it eventually ended up being. So it was good for the Galaxy. They did it. Fourth shutout of the year. Everybody's happy. LA Galaxy get to look forward to Seattle now. So that's...
A lot of Seattle.
Three times the Seattle. So
three times just this month, and then again in September.
That's right. So, all right, what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and take a break. Whenever we get back, we're going to talk about some LA Galaxy news, including the U.S. Open Cup game against Seattle. Big surprise. Coming up on July 20th. Season ticket holder event is coming up as well. We're going to talk about that stuff, have a little discussion on that. Some Academy updates as well. Also taking your calls. Whatever you guys want to talk about is coming up in the next segment. You're listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com, and we will be right back.
they've never mastered the eclipse when taking selfies, it's Corner of the Galaxy.
Hey, this is Chris.
This is Eddie.
This is Jason.
And we're from Back Pocket Memory, and you're listening to Corner of the Galaxy.
Welcome back to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Josh Kessman, Wendy Thomas with you back again. Happy to be here. All right, Wendy. Onward, upward, LA Galaxy news. Yes. Well, I don't know. There's not a ton of stuff. I feel like whenever there's no midweek game, I'm so used to there being a midweek game after.
Because, yeah, in June we had like five of them.
Yeah, we did.
And well, do you want to talk about the Open Cup game next week?
Let's do that. So July 20th is the U.S. Open Cup game. We've told you about it. I think last week we gave you a heads up that it was probably going to be played at 7:30 p.m. on July 20th. And I think during some of the shows, as we led up to it, we said there was a conflict with the main field at StubHub Center. And the fact is that the CrossFit Games, which have been at StubHub Center, I don't know, maybe the last 3 or 4 years, really take over that week. They have the main stadium, they have the tennis stadium, they take over the velodrome. There's parking lots that are closed because of the CrossFit Games. It's a huge, huge production, probably bigger than most of the concerts that get held there, including like Warped Tour, I think has been at StubHub Center before. So you're talking about large swaths of StubHub Center that get taken up by the CrossFit Games. So on July 20th, that is when the CrossFit Games are going to be there. So it was officially announced, and I told you it was coming and looking like it was coming this way, that the LA Galaxy will play Seattle on July 20th, 7:30 p.m. at the Track and Field Stadium at StubHub Center. That's the same place where LA Galaxy 2 plays. Tickets are $30 for general public, $25 for season ticket holders. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to want to go out and buy your tickets. And you're going to want to do it quickly, especially if you're a season ticket holder. You got an email. It gave you the code that you need to put in or the link that you need to go to in order to buy for the presale. And you need to go and buy those tickets because from what I can tell, capacity at the Track and Field Stadium, even with the LA Galaxy adding additional seats, Wendy, which they're going to do, they're going to take additional seats and put them on the east sideline. Even with that, I don't think it's going to get up much over 2,000 people. And if you figured there were like 4,700, I think, for the La Máquina game, you can understand where this is going to go. And not only that, but you can also understand that there's probably a whole bunch of Seattle fans that want to come see this game too. And they're going to get an allotment, but it's not very much. I don't think they're very happy about it.
I think this is absurd. I think that I'm a season ticket holder. I shouldn't get charged $25 to go see an Open Cup game. And I'm just boggled by the fact they were not able to schedule it for, you know, a date when the StubHub Center could be made available. It's totally outlandish that we have to play this Open Cup game in the Track and Field Stadium and that tickets are as expensive as they are and that season ticket holders don't get the tickets.
Yeah, well, you didn't
as a matter of course.
You didn't get the tickets for La Máquina. You had to pay, but they were $10.
Yeah, but you get them at like a reduced, like for $5.
Yeah, well, I think I got mine for $10. I think season ticket holders were $10, general public was $15, right? But bigger stadium, understandable, and you could fit more people in it. I think that two things are playing here, and I agree with you that I don't like this. But with the CrossFit Games taking up the whole week, it's not like U.S. Open Cup gives you like, you know, 3 weeks in which you can play this game. Usually they give you like a 2-day window. And that's it. So you either played like on the 20th or the 21st or the 20th or the 19th. That was about it. Those were probably your choices. So you had 2 days that you could probably fit this game into. So it's not going to happen at StubHub Center. My question is, why didn't it go somewhere else then? If you were
why don't they just take it up to CenturyLink Field? I mean, while we're at it, why don't we just do that? Or no. Why if we play it somewhere else in LA? We only have 9,000 stadiums here in LA.
Well, here's the thing, right? So I said, yeah, I would play it someplace in LA or another place like down in Cal State Fullerton, which has a history of hosting U.S. Open Cup games for the LA Galaxy. Alexi Lawless ran up an ice plant covered hill there, on the way to the LA Galaxy winning a U.S. Open Cup. So it has history there. I will say this, that I don't think there is another stadium in Southern California of the size that was probably needed that has a field as good as as the track and field stadium. Remember, the LA Galaxy just renovated that field. They made it as wide as the main field. And if you go to any other, you know, high school or college field, that field's not going to be that wide because they put it in between the track and there's other things that happen. And it's usually a football field that's converted into a soccer field, and football fields are narrower. So if you wanted to preserve that tactical advantage, I can understand why you might want to play there. Also, you own that. You own that field.
It's so déclassé. I don't like my LA Galaxy playing at the track and field stadium when we have the big, beautiful StubHub Center. Yeah. We should be playing at the big, beautiful StubHub Center.
Well, okay, then what are you going to do with CrossFit Games? My guess is they pay a bunch of money to be there for 5-6 days during this time. And the LA Galaxy have scheduled around them the last 3 or 4 years. So you're going to tell them to go take a hike? And right in the middle of their setup, by the way. It's not even at the beginning where you could say, hey, we could bump it. I mean, you're talking...
I understand you're explaining it to me rationally. I just think it's bush league.
It feels that way. I will say this. I think that the pricing that they put out is high on purpose because there's only going to be 2,000 plus people. Let's say it's 4,000 people, right? Let's say I'm off by a factor of, I'm off by 100%, that it's really... 4,000 people. Even at 4,000 tickets, that's no people, considering that you would probably get, I'm guessing, if this was played at StubHub Center at the main stadium for this game,
20,000 plus.
You would not get 20,000 plus.
Yeah,
stop
you would.
Dreaming.
For a quarterfinal
no.
game?
Oh my God, no. If you got 13,000 people, it would be a miracle. And I'm telling
you.
Yeah,
no way.
You know why?
No.
You know why? Because they're not part of your season ticket package.
Oh, they're not?
No.
I thought you get them. I swear to God, I've gotten these tickets for free before.
Yes, you have, probably in the past, but not this year. They're not part of your season ticket holder package. So if it's outside the package, you're already talking about a reduced number of people showing up. And I'm being serious. 13,000, maybe 15,000, absolute max. I will tell you this. I looked at the last two midweek games the LA Galaxy played at StubHub Center, Wendy, and you're right. You're right on the money. You would get 20,000 people.
Yeah, exactly. I went to a midweek game just like a few weeks ago, and there was it was like a pretty good crowd. Especially given the hellacious traffic we have to deal with, it was not bad.
So Sporting Kansas City game, the Sporting KC game, I think that's the one you're thinking of, was 21,000 plus, and then the Colorado game was 19,000 plus, just shy of 20,000. So that's you're not wrong in thinking that you can get that many people in midweek. I'm just telling you, if it's outside the season ticket package, it's not. It doesn't happen. You see what happens with, you know, La Máquina, granted, amateur team, but most of those people that were there, or maybe close to half of those people that were there, were there for La Máquina, and not necessarily for the LA Galaxy. So understand that happens. And also understand, again, you're going to want to get your tickets, even if you're angry about this. If you want to go see the game and be there, you need to buy these tickets, because otherwise, when it goes on sale to the general public, on Monday, Wendy, those tickets are going to be gone, and a lot of those tickets will get scooped up by Seattle fans. All right. And somebody also told me that Chris Ducker, went to the LA Galaxy Portland U.S. Open Cup game where the LA Galaxy won 1-0 up in Portland, and they were charging $40 per ticket up there for U.S. Open Cup, but in a real stadium. And I think most of the supporters groups got their tickets for free. So, okay, just putting it out there. You don't want to play this game in Seattle. Don't cede that to them. All right, do not do that.
Oh yeah, because it really matters whether I seed it, as if anyone listens to me.
No, I'm just saying, like, don't offer that up as an option. If you were in charge, Wendy, I would want you not to offer that up as an option, because Seattle would go up and win that game, because that's what Seattle does at home.
Oh, I wish I was in charge.
On that crappy turf.
Bruce just still won't let me in his office.
No, he won't. He has a guard standing outside with your picture. He knows, so that's fine. So anyway, I wanted to give you a heads up on that. Listen, I think that we're going to talk about the season ticket holder event next. Both of these things have some sort of contentious issues with them, and sort of things have changed from the past and what has happened. I've reached out to the LA Galaxy. There is a good chance that I will have somebody on from the LA Galaxy next week to talk about this and some other things. So sort of keep that in your back pocket. Pay attention to that. I am planning on asking the questions, and I want to get some answers from them. If you have questions, you can email us at cornerofthegalaxy@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter, on Facebook, anywhere. If you have questions that you would like to ask the LA Galaxy about this, and you do so in a respectful manner, then I will do my best to get that question answered for you. So do that. Hopefully next week we'll have somebody from the LA Galaxy on. If the person who's coming on is who I think it is, then it's a good person, and you're going to want to ask the questions, because I think you'll get honest answers. All right. So there you go. Season ticket holder event. So we're going to talk about it Thursday. September 22nd, 2016. It's going to take place in the evening. Exact time hasn't been put out yet. So you're getting a ton of heads up this time, by the way. I have gone to season ticket holder events. This is like the premier event. This is one where you get to get signatures from the players and, you know, you walk around to the different suites and you do it. But I've gotten notifications before, Wendy, where it's been like a week before. All right. So, and I've missed it because it's been so close. Have you been to any of them?
I remember the one last year I did not go to.
Okay.
But I should, I mean, I assume I'm going to get an email, right?
Yes, you are. So July 13th, season ticket holders will get an email to inform you, I think, of some more details of this. Here's the big change. They've gone to a lottery system, basically, so that way to be able to have certain number of people see Robbie Keane, Steven Gerrard, Giovanni Dos Santos, the three designated players. And the lottery system basically is going to be, you're going to put your name in. This is what I'm guessing anyway. You're going to put your name in and they're going to pick certain number of people for each one. And my guess is you're probably only going to get to apply for one. So you better pick which one you want, because I have a feeling that that will be a limiting factor here as well. And then you'll either get picked or you won't get picked, and that'll sort of determine things. And that's going to be the only way you're going to be able to see Robbie Keane, Steven Gerrard, Giovanni Dos Santos.
But what if I want to hang out with AJ and Sebastian Legette and Jesse Zurdis?
Then you're in luck, because I will tell you from past events, the way to do this is to skip the designated players and go get everybody else, because you can usually get everybody else.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, please, Robbie Keane, Steven, those good. Those are the superstars. I want to hang with the real guys. I want to hang out with like the guys who are like the real core of the team.
That's right.
I don't need no superstar status. I want my AJ De La Garza time. That's what I want.
You want your Sebastian Legette time?
Oh, tell me about it.
There you go. So listen. I think that's all going to stay unchanged. I will tell you that in the past, it's been a cluster. And many times, because everybody is trying to get those big stars, and so you have those lines being really long, and then people end up just camping out there, and then they don't guarantee they're going to get a signature, and then those guys leave, and then you're upset, and lots of things happen. This is very difficult. I'll tell you that I think, and I had heard this before, that some of the bigger clubs, like a Seattle, can't even pull this off because there's just too many people would show up. You can't do it. So it's very difficult to do it. So I like that this still feels like it was sort of the small club mentality that happened whenever I was back in 2009. I know there are people who've been around the club a lot longer, Wendy, and have seen sort of, you know, it change over the years, going from the small club, very approachable, obviously, to the superstars you have now, and a lot less approachable. And that's going to happen as they get more popular.
Well, especially since Liverpool is, you know, a huge fan base, and you have Steven Gerrard, and El Tri is a huge fan base, and you have Giovanni Dos Santos. I mean, those two particular players draw huge numbers.
Yeah, they do. And so you're going to have that issue. I will tell you that, again, I think if you go by the Wendy plan, which is go get everybody else, you leave happy.
Yeah, chill. I mean, I really feel like I could have a beer with Mike McGee. I feel like he and I could just rap and just talk.
I think Mike McGee probably would have a beer with you, Wendy. He's that type of guy. So it's a good opportunity. I don't know how this is going to affect, you know, the overall event. I know there's people who aren't happy with it. I'm ecstatic that there's this much time that you actually get to know. But, you know, September 22nd, I've planned, you know, vacations around stuff like this before, because it is such a cool event. I will tell you this as well. If you really want to get signatures, if you're upset about anything, Wendy, if you're not happy with, you know, sort of the time that gets spent on this particular event, you don't have to be a season ticket holder, and you can go to training and you can get autographs and pictures. And quite honestly, I think your interaction will probably be better than it will be at the season ticket holder event. So, it's a perk for season ticket holders. So I understand people being upset about it, and I understand the change. But, you know, before there was wristbands where you'd have to get a wristband, you got a certain color wristband, and then that would tell you which door you would go to first, and if you went to that door first, you were guaranteed to get signatures from that one, and then after that you could go to any other one, right? You know, it was
what a cluster. Forget it. I would never do something like that.
It's fun. It can be fun. I went, I had a great time. I still have a scarf that I got most of the team signed by, except for David Beckham, because he was in the, and David and Landon, because they were in the like DP room, you know, and everybody
right.
There.
Where all the super special people are.
That's right. So it can be a lot of fun. I'm just saying, we're gonna hopefully talk to some people from the LA Galaxy. They can give us sort of their insight on this, why they did it, and then you can decide whether or not you think it's a good deal or not. If you think the LA Galaxy, again, are shorting you on something, or you want me to ask some questions, cornerofthegalaxy@gmail.com, send them on in. I am here to help ask questions for you guys, and I'm still a season ticket holder, so this still affects me as well. Wendy is a season ticket holder. We're here with you guys in terms of this event, and we want it to be the best possible as well. And so we'll talk to the LA Galaxy and see see what they say, because I want to hear from you. I want to hear from the LA Galaxy as well. All right. Are we good now, Wendy?
We're good.
Okay, good. Glad. Everybody, warm hugs. Have some tea. Relax. All right, let's get to the LA Galaxy Academy playoffs. And normally we don't talk about the LA Galaxy Academy playoffs, but they just played at the StubHub Center Track and Field Stadium, the very same place that the LA Galaxy will play July 20th against the Seattle Sounders in the U.S. Open Cup. And in the USSDA semifinal, quarterfinals, the LA Galaxy U16s under head coach Brian Kleben, I always say his name, Kleben, advanced to the semifinals after defeating Real SoCal 1-0 on Wednesday at StubHub Center Track and Field Stadium. All right.
It was 2-0.
Well, it says 2-0, but I'm pretty sure that they got that wrong.
All right.
So we'll go with that. It was 1-0 or 2-0. I have it 1-0 because I have the actual goal scorer's name, and that was it.
Yeah, Brian Kleben's done a really good job with the U16 team.
They again, we talk about, you know, the youth and what's coming up. The academy, this academy team is for real right now. So
we seriously have a good academy.
The LA Galaxy are good at developing some of this younger talent. That you're never going to get a team full of U16s all to Major League Soccer. That's never going to happen, Wendy. So people have to understand, you're going to fail with young players a lot more often than you're going to succeed. So,
oh yeah, the road to becoming a professional athlete, I mean, statistically, it's just as likely as becoming like a movie star or something like that. I mean, it is that improbable. So the failure rate is obviously high, but we do have a very good academy.
Yeah, the LA Galaxy under-16s will now face off against Real Colorado in the USSDA semifinal at StubHub Center on July 14th. They say a time is to be determined. I'm guessing it's going to be at about 7:30 p.m. again, and there's a good chance that it will be free again, just like this last one. If you want to head up on July 14th and check out these U16s, you can cheer them on the same as you do with LA Galaxy 2 or the LA Galaxy at StubHub Center. So pay attention for that, and we will, of course, give you more details as soon as they come out. All right, about 10 minutes left, Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
We have talked ad nauseum about how difficult this schedule is, so I'm going to skip over it. Everybody knows we play Seattle 3 times in July. One of those is the U.S. Open Cup game. We'll play them obviously this Saturday, and then at the end of the month on Sunday, June 31st, both away in Seattle. That's your MLS Cup games, and the 20th is at home for the U.S. Open Cup. So that's all you need to know right now. Houston's in there, Portland's in there as well. So you're going to get to play in some Pacific Northwest games coming up this particular month, and AJ De La Garza already said, yeah, great, we have 3 games on turf, and you know, they're in the middle of the day, and who's doing the scheduling? I think I added that part. Who's doing the scheduling and all that fun stuff. FC Dallas is on top of the Supporters Shield and on top of the Western Conference for the first time this year after Colorado Rapids. Actually, I don't know. They may have been at the beginning, but it's been Colorado for a very long time. And the Colorado Rapids have fallen down to second, the LA Galaxy in fourth with 26 points. FC Dallas up top with 34, Colorado with 33, Real Salt Lake 28. That's sort of what you need to know there. It's now time to get into the LA Galaxy traveling up to Seattle to take on the Seattle Sounders on Saturday, July 9th, this Saturday at 12 p.m. Pacific time. Wendy, ESPN is where you can find it on the broadcast. It is a 12 p.m. kickoff time, which means that if you're going out on Friday night, then you better park it a little early because you got to be up by noon. All right.
Yes. And this is, I always enjoy Seattle games because I think it's a good rivalry, and I'm looking forward to, I haven't followed a lot of Seattle. I know they haven't really been tearing it up this season the way they have in seasons past. I know, but Clint Dempsey, I guess, is back. And so maybe that will make a difference. And they're playing without Obafemi Martins. But I do know that Jordan Morris, their heralded homegrown player, has actually been performing really, really well. So I'm interested to see this game because I'd just like to see, you know, what is this Seattle team going to be like this year, because we're going to play them 4 times.
Yeah, you are. Jordan Morris has 6 goals right now in MLS play. He scored another goal, I believe, in their 3-0 victory. It was a friendly they played on Tuesday night against West Ham United of the Premier League there. Listen, yeah. Good thing. I'm glad that they played a Tuesday night friendly. That helps me out a little bit because this is a very busy schedule for them. It was not a good timing for them to be playing that game. They had just gone to Toronto and tied Toronto again. It looks like Seattle is on a little bit of an upswing here. They're getting back Clint Dempsey. That looks good for them. It looks like Chad Marshall is going to be back. He's sort of been iffy in terms of concussion protocols and some injuries. So he's going to be there. It looks like, quite honestly, Seattle's going to be at full strength. And quite honestly, the LA Galaxy minus Nigel de Jong will be at full strength. And you have some rested defenders back there as well. You got to rest Sebastian Legette, in the last game because the LA Galaxy didn't need to bring him on, which is good because he's young. And he needed to have some rest, probably, Wendy. So that was okay. But this Seattle team has been struggling overall in the year. 5-9-2, 17 points, 16 games played. LA Galaxy 6-3-8 for 26 points, 17 games played. Seattle, I think, sits 8th in the Western Conference right now, and they sit 17th overall in the one single table of Major League Soccer. They are not a good team this year. Obafemi Martin's leaving them really, really hurt. And now it's a matter of them trying to fit all the pieces back. And like you said, Clint Dempsey coming back, hasn't played since Copa America, will come back into this game. So now they're going to have to be figuring that out. And they didn't have it totally figured out when he left, Wendy. So it's not like saying, oh, well, they'll just go back and be the same team that they were. That's not necessarily the case. So this should be, I don't know, this is going to be one of those games that is up in the air. I think the LA Galaxy have a very good chance of going on the road and stealing points from Seattle.
It could happen. It could happen. I mean, we don't do a lot of that. In Portland, we managed to win midweek at the Open Cup last week.
Right.
That was good. I honestly don't know. I'm trying to envision because Clint Dempsey's been away from Seattle for the past 6 weeks. And then before that, Jordan Morris hadn't adjusted at all to MLS and they were missing Obafemi Martins. And so they've been in a state of flux. And so I'm trying to figure out, are they going to have found some sort of equilibrium or are they still going to be kind of adjusting in a state of flux? I don't know. I mean, obviously it's probably a good time to start playing them because knowing Ziggy, they're going to try and make a run at the playoffs, obviously. So there's a chance we could catch them before they're at full strength. So I really don't know. It would be tough for me to guess. I'm guessing maybe a draw.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to play it safe, then yes, I think a draw is a good. Good thing. I could see the LA Galaxy losing this game. I mean, you know, it's unfortunately it's LA, right? And we have seen them this year not be good at all, and we've seen them be really excellent. And I think,
right. So which team are we going to see? I don't know.
I think both of these teams are on an upswing. If you look over the last six games, it certainly doesn't look like Seattle's on the upswing. Their last three, a loss, a draw in MLS play, got a win about four games ago. The LA Galaxy though, almost as bad with, you know, if you look, the last three is a draw, a win. So, I mean, you know, it's there, but I feel like both of these teams are on the upward swing right now.
Here's the thing. If Steven Gerrard doesn't play, and we have no one else who can essentially play as a central attacking midfielder because it's on turf and he just might not want to play on turf, whatever.
You're losing.
Then you know, that's going to be a problem.
I don't think that's the case. I really do think that Gerrard's going to play. I don't think it's going to be an issue. I don't think there are any injury issues that are really substantial right now that would keep anybody out. And even if Gerrard says...
Kennedy's out, I think.
Dan Kennedy actually dressed the last game. He has a groin injury, but he dressed the last game, and that injury report was technically before last game. So, whatever. It is what it is. He'll probably be available, is my guess, backing up Brian Rowe. Brian Rowe's your number one starter. It's going to be that way. The back line shouldn't really be a question mark. We should know exactly. You're going to have Ashley Cole, Yella Van Dam, Daniel Starris, and AJ De La Garza in there. That just makes sense. I think that you're going to have to find out who's going to play that defensive mid-role. Is it going to be Jeff Laurentiewicz, who has sort of maybe played a little bit better than Baggio Hucic over the last couple of games?
Yeah, I don't know. Baggio last week, man, he looked gassed. I would put in, even though I know Jeff played back-to-back because he played Portland and then he also played the Vancouver game, I would probably go with Big Red.
I think it might be Baggio just for that very reason. And I think, I know it's going to upset people, but it is what it is. And I think Bruce is very cognizant of that, especially on the older legs. Doesn't want to get Jeff hurt. So it very well could be. And Jeff, by the way, didn't have a great first half, but had a great second half against Vancouver. So it's one of those, hey, you know, you mixed bags. So you saw him be good at the end. So maybe that's why you feel so good about him right now. But, you know, I think Baggio can do the job. I like Jeff Laurentiewicz's defense a little better than Baggio.
I just think last week, the game against Portland that I watched, I thought our midfield was just like a big void. It was just a big vacuum with nothing happening. And I don't want to place that all, obviously, in the shoulders of Baggio and Jeff. But, well, I mean, That was not inspiring.
Well, here's another.
That was not some inspiring midfield play.
Remember, you're basically playing three midfielders now with Giovanni Dos Santos, Robbie Keane, and Giassi Zardes, who are more or less your three up top, even though Giovanni Dos Santos and Giassi Zardes probably play a little more out wide and play underneath Keane. But if you figure it as a 4-3-3, you're going to have three midfielders in there. So Nigel de Jong's not there. You're going to put in Baju Husidic. Who's your other guy? Is it Mike McGee? Is it Sebastian Lletget? Lletget got rested. He's ready to go in this game.
Yeah, Lletget can play.
So you know, you put him there, but then you also have to sing. Okay, now I can't even think. Okay, so you got Baju Husidic, and you got Lletget, and you got Steven Gerrard. Is that who your three are going to be in the center? Or is it better to pair in without a Sebastian Lletget? Is it better to put in somebody with Gerrard there? You put in Baju Husidic and Jeff Llorente paired together again. I know.
No.
I know that doesn't. We don't like that because we don't like the speed down the center, because now you literally have three of the slowest people on the field all together.
We just have this like very slow midfield.
So that's where it's all going to be, you know, sort of sorted out. You look how Bruce Arena approaches those three players in the center. Those three players, and granted,
speed does not matter to Bruce. I think
it doesn't. And if he's on the road, expect him to play a little more defensively, right? I mean, yeah. That's what Bruce is going to do. So it wouldn't surprise me if Baggio and Jeff Lorenowitz are paired up next to each other with Steven Gerrard sort of playing at the top of the triangle, and then you would go up to Robbie Keane and out to the sides with Giassi Zardes and Giovanni Dos Santos. I think the LA Galaxy have the firepower. I think they have the defense. Defense will be there for this game.
I think the defense is going to be solid.
Weak point is the midfield, Wendy.
Midfield.
And it's not even the whole midfield, because I think Steven Gerrard will have an excellent game if he can get support.
I liked him. I mean, he's our assist getter.
Is that what he is?
That's the technical terminology. Assist getter, one who gets assists.
He ranks number two in Major League Soccer right now with 7 assists on the season. Very well could pick up his 8th and 9th in this game, because I think the LA Galaxy could very well put a hurt on Seattle and sort of ruin some of that Seattle swag. Wanted to get to the Mike McGee comment before we get out of here, because Mike McGee knows how to end a show, and we're going to let him do it with this particular quote. Here's Mike McGee after training today. I believe he was talking to LA Galaxy insider Adam Serrano. Here is the quote that Adam put out, attributed to Mr. Mike McGee. Mike says, and I quote, "When they," meaning Seattle, "when they came into the league, I think that they called us out. They thought they'd challenge us, and it didn't work out well for them. They're still trying to be what the Galaxy is. They're doing a great job. They have great fans and a great team. But I'd say, to be honest with you, they're a little jealous."
Ooh, throwing a little shade.
Shade, Mike McGee.
Shade being thrown.
Putting that up on the bulletin board up in Seattle. So Mike McGee, a marked man. You know what? Mike McGee probably starts in midfield now. That's what's
Brad happen. Evans is going to be tweeting you, Mike McGee.
It's on like Donkey Kong. The LA Galaxy face off against the Seattle Sounders this Saturday, July 9th at 12 p.m. That game is on ESPN. That's where you want to watch it. Again, 12 p.m. That means you probably need to be back in from the bars by at least 2 or 3 a.m. That's what maybe 4 a.m. if you're pushing it. But you need to be awake.
Yeah, because you and I, Josh, no one is a more wild bar hopper than you and me, right?
Party animals we are, Wendy. Party animals we are. Why don't you tell them where they can find you, Wendy?
You can find me at American Soccer Now and Corner of the Galaxy, and at Twitter at BarsBlonde.
All right, and if you're looking for me on Twitter, it's at Jay Guessman, JGUESMAN, and of course at Galaxy Podcast. That's me 90% of the time as well. Go on Instagram, Galaxy Podcast. Go on iTunes, type in Corner of the Galaxy. Go subscribe. We're having a glitch with iTunes. It's nothing I can do about it. If you're not getting shows, which I don't know how you're listening to me right now, but maybe you're listening on the website. If you're not getting shows, then what you need to do is unsubscribe and resubscribe, and everything will be okay, because we've been putting out shows like crazy. Haven't been taking any time off, crazy people. All right, big game coming up on Saturday. Should be interesting. Busy month of July. We've got you covered right here on Corner of the Galaxy. Thanks for listening. For Wendy Thomas, I'm Josh Guessman. Have a great night.
You've been listening to the Corner of the Galaxy podcast on cornerofthegalaxy.com. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Galaxy Podcast. And be sure to check out and subscribe to iTunes, Stitcher, and Facebook by searching for Corner of the Galaxy. And for all of your independent LA Galaxy news, discussion, and entertainment, including this podcast, head on over to cornerofthegalaxy.com. Fans, thanks for listening. We ask that you be kind and courteous to your neighbors as you leave the podcast. We thank you for joining us and look forward to seeing you again. Until then, I'm Michael Araujo, and on behalf of the entire Corner of the Galaxy crew, goodbye, everybody.